Most of us know Philip Seymour Hoffman from his acting roles in Boogie Nights, Happiness, Doubt, and of course Capote, for which he earned an Oscar. But today we see Philip Seymour Hoffman in a totally new role, that of feature film director.
I told him I loved him. He was a great dad, and
he woke up out of the coma.
Woke up?
After 3 months.
Oh, God.
And then he fell down and hit his head in the hallway, and then he died.
Oh.
The movie's called Jack Goes Boating, and it opens today. And the problem is, if you excerpt something from this film, it's really hard to get a flavor of what the film is all about. So let's actually talk to the two stars. Philip Seymour Hoffman joins us in the studio today, and also Amy Ryan, who co-stars as his love interest in Jack Goes Boating. Good morning, and thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
The first question whenever someone's making their debut as a director, which is kind of inevitable because every time they interview actors, they say, what I really want to do is direct, right? So, I mean, you always...
I think it's more the mythology, you know,
right.
That actually, but most actors
they don't want to take it on.
No,
never
too much.
They'd rather just take home the check.
No one wants to be responsible for the failure, you know what I mean?
They can blame it on the director.
Yeah, it's you know.
Right. Well, I mean, that leads to the inevitable question of A, why would you take this on? And B, if so, why this film?
I think my brain wants to do this stuff, you know what I mean? I think very soon into my acting career, when I had jobs, I started thinking about things in the overall story idea. I remember taking acting classes, and even in acting classes back then, I remember, you know, identifying with the acting teacher in a way that wasn't about an acting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like wanting to get up and talk about acting to the students and stuff, you know
right.
what I mean? Like I always had this kind of quality, this teacher kind of thing in me, I guess.
Your mom's a teacher too,
yeah.
right?
She was a teacher. She's a teacher.
Well, you know, Amy, let me ask you, in the terms of getting your scene, and this movie is so intimate, and I'm wondering if it complicated it that the guy that you were having these very subtle, intimate, quiet scenes with was then going to step out of the scene and go, no, let's try it from another angle and turn the lights up, and she's got, you know, and let's get that hair out of her face.
Well, yes, this is the first time that I've been in bed with my director.
Literally.
Oh, well, come on.
On screen. On screen.
Okay.
But, oh, Lord.
Headlines everywhere.
Yeah.
Amy Ryan.
Oh, the scandal for Sidney Lumet right now. Oh, no. But there is, you know, but the point is Phil was absolutely 100% in that scene with me, acting with all heart and all intimacy, and so it really was the two of us in there together. He didn't have to, you know what, actually, now that I think of it, sometimes when you yell cut, there's this long pause and you feel the director coming towards you, and it's almost like the teacher coming down the hall and you're a little nervous,
like
what are you going to say? But here Phil was literally in bed with me, and he just leaned over and whispered some small adjustment that the crew didn't hear. It was still very private.
Well, I'm kind of intentionally not going through the whole storyline of the movie because this movie is so subtle. It's so much of it happens in silences.
Yeah.
And that would seem to me to be the hardest thing you could possibly choose to both star in and direct. I mean, your focus for this film had to have been laser focused. And then you have to step out and worry about somebody's costume or... That would seem to be the hardest thing you could do. Well, why not an action film? Pirates of the Caribbean 6?
I'm so glad you said that. It's so great to hear you say it. No one said that, and that's true. There was something I was trying to figure out while shooting this that I knew I couldn't put my finger on, and I was having a hard time putting into words, you know, and that was going to take a kind of sharp focus, and it was going to take all the parts equaling into a whole that was going to work or not work at all. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And doubt would creep in, and I would just have to kind of keep thinking about it. But ultimately, I explored everything I could explore on any given day. So at the end of the day, I thought, okay.
Well, we're kind of making it sound really, really serious, and it's not. The film is actually very funny. And one of the things that struck me in the film was the really whimsical sometimes and lovely music. Let's take a listen to some of the music that was composed for the film. One thing thing I noticed, and I don't know if somebody's asked you about this before, and very often this piano music is playing anytime that we're seeing just you on the screen, and it's really reminiscent of Vince Guaraldi's music for Charlie Brown. It's and the movie's almost as though Jack is Charlie Brown as an adult.
That's funny. That's stuff that's original music,
right?
That was composed by Evan Lurie. There's a couple moments in the film where his music is some of my favorite stuff. You know, Jack's in the Waiting Room is one I
exactly. That's the one I was thinking of.
There's something he does with the piano in that sequence. It's just so moving, you know. And thank God he came on board because he really helped us out.
And you know, Amy, having come, I mean, a lot of people know you from The Wire. Clearly, if anyone saw Gone Baby Gone, they're going to remember that performance as well. But this film was probably a risk, don't you think?
No, not at all.
Really? I mean, because it's so subtle and quiet and intimate, and people have to buy in.
I never for a moment thought, oh, I shouldn't do this next because people are expecting something from me. In fact, if they're expecting something from me, I'm going to do everything I can to go the other direction.
Yeah.
Did you, Phil, did you have any pressure to kind of sex it up, to call it Jack finally gets laid, or to put in some scenes with some car? I mean, really, to make it more marketable, did anyone pressure you to add stuff in or take stuff out?
Jessica Biel turned on my part, actually.
Oh, I know. That was a dark day. no, yeah. Actually, no. I thought the people involved that supported this film were and are and have been incredibly supportive. But they did this film without giving away anything. This film does go to a place that gets really emotionally charged and a bit crazy, because the people are at such a point in their lives,
yeah.
And things start to act out, and which I think is really amazing. Great choices by the writer. And I remember they wanted to calm that down a bit. So the thing is, like, no, the film has to go to a place where people are kind of going, I can't believe he's doing that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because I think that that's what happens in life when things get that bad. People start to act crazy, and that causes other people to do something. So that was it. But that was it. Other than that, no, I think, you know, they were on board for having us show these people as humanly as possible and having them look the way they should look and be the way they should be. They were pretty great.
And it ends up being a film that's completely self-contained. You could never make a sequel to this. Jack Gets Married.
No, yeah, it would be really silly. Jack trains for the triathlon. It's like totally svelte. You know what I mean? That's for all the people out there.
Yeah, that would not work. Yeah. But truly so enjoyable that even my Expendables Rambo watching husband absolutely loved it. The movie is called Jack Goes Boating. It opens today, starring Philip Seymour Hoffman and Amy Ryan. This is Philip Seymour Hoffman's directorial debut as a feature film director. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.